We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's an epidemic, Diesel. It's an epidemic. We have another quarterback named that is a former transfer/grad transfer/brandy new.
Oh, I thought you were going to say somebody else got into the chicken sandwich debate.
No.
Oh.
No. Brandon Peters of Illinois is now your game one starter, who, by the way, in case you were wondering in your hymnal, transferred from Michigan to Illinois. Immediately eligible to play in 2009 for the Illini, 2 years of eligibility remaining. A career backup for the Wolverines, saw extended playing time in 17, but lost out to Shea Patterson and Dylan McCaffrey for a role at Michigan. Why are we in this era of college football where what is new and interesting is prevailing over what has basically inside of your walls? It almost seems antithetical to the way actually most jobs are won. You bring in what's new and flashy and that's a
shiny new toy.
A shiny new toy. It shines out over what is tried and true.
Yeah. Have you ever heard that phrase, what's one man's trash is another man's treasure?
Yes.
This guy was nothing at Michigan. He's a career backup at Michigan. I mean, does that mean something? I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a red flag to you?
He couldn't start at Michigan?
He couldn't start at Michigan, yet he's starting under Lovie Smith at Illinois.
Hmm.
Guy couldn't start at Oklahoma, but hey, guess what? He's going to play for a first-year head coach at West Virginia. Now, it doesn't necessarily apply to the whole true freshman thing like with Sam Howell. I think North Carolina is just realizing, look, it's a rebuilding year. We want to make sure that our guy is about the best option he can be. That's a move for 20 and 21 as much as it is for 19 for North Carolina. But again, it goes back to the whole what is shiny and new is winning out over what is, you know, tried and true and sitting there. And right now, the worst position that you could be in right now if you're in college football is an incumbent quarterback or somebody who's been a backup somewhere and not at least stepped foot in the transfer portal. So that, to me, is the way that goes as far as I'm concerned. Very scary situation going on at LSU. Hate to transition drastically, but apparently there's a reported armed intruder on the campus there at Louisiana State University. That's not good. So our certainly concerns are out to the folks at LSU involving there. Interesting story out of Tennessee, to transition back into more fun and frivolity. Tennessee, as you know, we were talking earlier about the Craigslist thing. There was a situation involving the new passage of that SEC law that allows schools to drink. Well, or not schools to drink, allows schools to serve alcohol, beer and wine to the general public. As a result of trying to increase safety for the patrons, they will remove any of the electric scooters in the city of Knoxville away from the stadium. These electric scooters, which I've told you about, I've come about and come across in Atlanta, they are terror on wheels. Those electric scooters are terror on wheels because people ride them up and down the streets and the sidewalks. And I swear to goodness gracious, I fear my life when walking down the street in the city of Atlanta just because of these terror-filled contraptions. But they are so dangerous with people drinking that that they're moving those in Knoxville. You find that peculiar and odd?
Yeah, I just figured somebody would pee on it and get electrocuted.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. So this is a debate that you have brought to the table, and I will allow you, sir, to pontificate this idea of yours.
Right. So this is a purely hypothetical, and there are plenty of schools who would fit into this model, and you can shout them out during the conversation if you would like. But hypothetically speaking, if you were a fan of a school that had a lot of success in the non-revenue sports and men's basketball, Up until recently, Kentucky would be a good example of this. They're great at basketball, and they might be good at other sports. I don't know. But they hadn't had a whole lot of success in football. Would you give all that success in the non-revenue sports up? You give up your, you know, your conference titles in baseball and track and field and golf and whatever else it is you might be good at to be really good at football and stink at all those other sports?
I think that anything that you will give up, beg, borrow, or steal to allow your school to have success in football.
And I'm talking being really good in football. I'm talking about being a perennial top 15.
I'd give it all back. Everything. Do you think UConn really wants to be an independent in football? Really? They're realizing, you know what they're doing? They're punting. They are punting on football,
sure,
pardon the pun, by rejoining the Big East. Because they realized they can't do any better. They tried to go all in on football when they hired Randy Edsall.
Wah, wah.
And guess what happened? They're now going to be an independent and play in the Big East, and it's going to be basically everything involving Geno and the women's basketball and the men's basketball, and they're going to go all in on basketball. That is their thing. Corey tweets at us, this is for South Carolina fans, huh? That's not nice.
Aww.
That's not very nice. That's not very nice.
No, it's not for South Carolina.
That's not what that meant.
I mean, it maybe a little bit applies.
That could be considered and interpreted as a slight toward a Gamecock fan because the Gamecocks.
However, it's not.
The Gamecocks have a national championship in women's basketball. They have a Final Four in men's basketball, and the greatest football season of theirs would be one of the two Outback Bowl seasons. Maybe that would be probably it. Is it bad that for South Carolina fans, your greatest football moment is Jadeveon Clowney knocking out some dude from Michigan in a bowl game?
That was a pretty awesome moment, though. Knocking his helmet off and getting the ball.
I mean, I think we all can understand what the greatest moment in Clemson football history is. It's Hunter Renfrow catching that football from Deshaun Watson in the national championship game to win it against Alabama. What would be the South Carolina biggest football moment other than maybe that moment with Clowney or George Rogers accepting the Heisman Trophy? Was it Stephen Garcia beating Alabama in 2010? Is it Connor Shaw, the miracle at Mizzou? Again, I don't know the answer to that question. Somebody else is probably more qualified to answer that question. But
71307. That's a great way to answer that question.
Or 844-GSP-ESPN on the phone lines.
Looking at the votes so far, though, 78% say absolutely yes.
If they would
give up success in all of their other sports that they're good at to be really good at football.
If you were a fan of a school that had tons of success in non-revenue sports and basketball, would you give all that up for a high-level success in football? And by high level success, you mean
top 15.
Top 15 competing for a New Year's Six and or a college
Correct.
Football playoff berth.
Correct. As a Kentucky, I would love to hear from like a Kentucky fan, a Kansas fan.
Oof.
You know, these blue bloods of college basketball, because that's really the big question there.
Right.
If you had a lot of success in basketball.
Villanova doesn't even have.
Villanova, yeah. If you're a Villanova fan and you're winning titles at Villanova, would you give that up to be really good at football?
Villanova, I should say, has football, but they do not necessarily have football from a Division
FCS.
One, an FBS or FCS standpoint. They have an FCS.
I believe they're FCS.
Yeah, they are. As is Georgetown, I believe. They play in the same league. Again, I personally, and again, 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. I personally think you have to give up anything that you have success-wise and go all in on football. And this goes
and again,
back,
to get there, you have to stink at the sport that you're now good at, or sports, multiple.
I think
you have to stink at those.
I think if you looked at folks who invest in these conferences that are now basketball only or basketball prominent, they would sell their soul to be good at football. Do you really think that the Big East, when they moved to a basketball-only conference, wanted to make that switch? They needed to make that switch because their conference partners were losing money because of the TV deals that they weren't getting that other conferences were. And why were the other conferences getting those dollars because they had the eyeballs for their football programs. Think about when conference realignment happened in the early 2010s. The reason Kansas was left out was because Kansas was not necessarily looked at as a school that could bring about the football revenue and the football eyeballs. That's why Missouri and A&M went to the SEC and why Kansas was left basically holding the bag saying, hey, guess what? We are good at basketball. We could fill 15,000 in Allen Fieldhouse for a Midnight Madness. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? And that's the part of this that I think drives greatest home when you ask this question, is that athletics are the front porch of a university, and the most extreme part of that front porch is football. 844-GSP-ESPN. If you were a fan of a school that had tons of success in non-revenue sports and basketball, would you give that up for high-level success in football? And here's the other part of this that goes to what we were talking about yesterday. How many schools live in the doldrums of football right now? In that 10 to 11 to 25 to 30 to 35 to 40, and yet have other success in other sports. Think about a school like Iowa, who has a legacy football coach in Kirk Ferentz, and yet is always perceived as never really being able to get over the hump in football. Yet they have otherworldly wrestling and otherworldly non-revenue sports. Would they give that up? Would they give up the legacy in those other sports to go to a Rose Bowl, to go to a CFP?
Well, here's a point that we've talked about over the last couple of days, and we got into it really big yesterday with Brando. What if the pundits actually talked about Iowa in the same ways that they talk about Alabama and Texas and Miami? Not so much Alabama, but Texas and Miami, and all these schools that they always push as being back every year. They're never really back.
Iowa is projected to be one of the top two teams in the Big Ten West.
Sure.
And yet nobody's giving them any credence or credo because it's all about Ohio State and Michigan in the Big Ten.
How much could 20 years or 10 years of national college football punditry talking about them being back, what could that do for recruiting at Iowa?
If any other coach left their program the way that Urban Meyer left Ohio State, and they didn't have a Justin Fields waiting in the wings to start at quarterback, what would Ohio State be now? Ohio State wouldn't necessarily be looked at as a school that looks to compete. And yet, during this season, what does Ohio State have that really scares you on their schedule other than a home matchup against Michigan State, a home matchup against Wisconsin, maybe home Penn State, and at Michigan? Most of their tough games are at home. Their road schedule is at Indiana, at Nebraska, at Northwestern, at Rutgers, at Michigan. Maybe you're scared of at Nebraska. I don't know if I am, because that's not the same Nebraska Memorial Stadium that I've been at and seen people actually go down from. But at Michigan is the only one that I look at as a game away from home of theirs that makes me look like, okay, I feel a little uneasy about that. I think that you have to give up all the success in the world if you want your university to have the success. 72% say yes, 28% say no. If you're in that 28%, I want to know why. I want to know what is so special about non-revenue and basketball success that you are not willing to give that up for football. Because guess what? On programs like this one, we talk about basketball in November, a little bit in February, March and April. What do we talk about the rest of the year?
Football.
Football runs. We have the numbers and the metrics to prove it. Football drives the bus, boys and girls. People ask me all the time, whether it's out, what's your favorite sport? They ask me, what's my favorite sport? My favorite sport growing up, I loved baseball. I love going to hockey games. I've done women's basketball. I've done softball. But guess what puts money in Diesel and I's pocket? Not the hoops. It's the football. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. We'll come back, reset the top story of the day, which involves a somewhat of a changing of the guard, and you'll have to hear this from a very prominent member of the South Carolina coaching community speaking out on the big decision made by Will Muschamp earlier this week. That comes your way next on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
One hour from now, we'll talk Clemson football with our friend Matt Connolly. It is a CNC Tuesday. If you mentioned, or if you missed, the opportunity to hear from our friend Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central, we will very much give you the opportunity to do that on the radio.com app. Dabo Swinney's press conference, by the way, we just found out Deez is going to be on Monday this week, this upcoming week, because of the fact that they are playing on a Thursday, so everything kind of moves up a couple of days. So they will, again, his normal Tuesday availability will happen on Monday, so we'll have that for you. I'll try to see if I can make it up there for that, in addition to seeing Will Muschamp's first availability of game week on Tuesday. So we'll have double barreled action involving that. So plenty of that to at least get to you next week for the first game week. South Carolina, of course, playing on Saturday against North Carolina. Clemson playing on Thursday against Georgia Tech. Of course, all the coverage on our sister station, 93.3 The Planet. Of course, the situation with South Carolina has brought about a lot of different opinions from people, and one that has come about that we just found over the course of social media was former South Carolina quarterback Savelle Newton, who, as many know, took over the starting quarterback position after Blake Mitchell was sidelined after getting shut out by Georgia in 2006, but then, of course, lost that position after basically playing ineffective against Arkansas. Gamecocks, of course, finished that season 8-5, defeating Houston in the Liberty Bowl. And, of course, at 600 yards rushing, passing, and receiving in his career, just one of four players to make that happen. And many believe that the way that he was treated by Steve Spurrier at South Carolina makes him somebody who would be apt to speak on this issue. He says, "I will not be commenting on the DeCarrion Joyner situation. I think we are just a university with three quarterbacks that can all be starters. Will Muschamp and staff have done such a beautiful job in recruiting, and having three good quarterbacks on a roster is amazing." He then says, or goes back on the statement talking about that he wouldn't necessarily comment by making comments. He said, "Y'all make a huge issue who is the number two quarterback. That's why I've always loved how Carolina rolls. Y'all are never happy with anything. We've never been this deep at quarterback. Clemson won a national championship last year because the depth chart's third-team quarterback, being Chase Bryce, saved them against Syracuse. The player is unhappy with where they are on the depth chart. The transfer portal is wide open. I wish it was around when I played. please stop saying this is like they did Savelle Newton, or I would have had the best opinion on this. I was clearly the best quarterback on my team and got removed by the quarterback or from the quarterback room, not by choice. I was told to transfer if I wanted to play quarterback. And he's also said this to Kurt Roper. He is at NC State. I'm pretty sure they would love either one of our quarterbacks. This is football, not choir practice. Thoughts, please.
Love it. That's an adult response.
I mean, I don't know. And I said this to Colin Taylor when he was on with us last hour. I don't know why such a big deal was made out of this, honestly. And number one, I don't see why everybody's so surprised. Like,
do you think
we knew that Ryan Helinski was not the truth, but like we knew that he had all the measurables to basically be the kind of guy who could be a starting quarterback. He wouldn't have been recruited if that wasn't the case.
Who was the incumbent quarterback in the movie Remember the Titans?
Oh,
who got replaced by Sunshine?
Do
you think it's a little bit of that? Do you think it's a little bit of, you know, not fear, but a little bit of distrust, a little bit of protectionism of our own? Mm-hmm. Is it a little bit of, oh, we don't want some kid from California coming in here and supplanting our local product?
Right.
You think there's a little bit of that in there?
I think there's a lot of that.
A lot of that, okay.
There are some people who have brought up the race component. I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Oh, come on. That's people trying to insert in every conversation
Trust me, the first time I saw it was around 1:41 this afternoon, and I had the over-under at about 3 when I saw the story happen this morning. But someone's gonna bring the race thing up, and you need look no further than Will Muschamp having two African-American coordinators and being the only FBS school that has two African-American coordinators at offensive and defensive coordinator being at South Carolina. So you can take that particular part of the argument and shove it, as far as I'm concerned. So that part of it does not hold any water to me. But I do believe that there is a little bit of jingoism taking place here from a lot of South Carolina fans, at least state-sponsored or state-run or state-motivated jingoism. And while that's all very well and good, what is the one thing that I've told you? If South Carolina wants to feel like they've turned the corner, they have to get recruits on a national level. Yes, it's great to have a bedrock of players in state. And that's great for a lot of people who bleed football in this state and bleed high school football in this state. And I understand that. And I understand that that's the way a lot of this happens. We are the home of Burns football here on ESPN Upstate. I'm not about to disparage any of the high schools, anybody in the high school league or SKESA or anything. But when it comes down to it, we are a small state, folks. We are not that big. And there are some years where it's just kind of lean. And, you know, a guy who was told he could play defensive back at Clemson or Alabama, and he even said it himself. He said he could have gone to Clemson or Alabama if he wanted to play defensive back, but he wanted to play quarterback. And South Carolina was the only team that allowed him to play quarterback. Well, guess what? A better quarterback has come in. And that's not bad. It tells you South Carolina has moved up in the ranks, that they can take a quarterback who is an Elite 11 quarterback out of Bellflower, California. Do you know how many schools Ryan Helinski was recruited by that he had to fly over to get to South Carolina? He moved his entire family here. How many of those schools did he have to fly over or fly past that would have loved to have him, who would love to have recruited him to be their quarterback? And it honestly sounds like we're talking about him being the starter. He's not even going to be the starter this year. They could re-adjudicate this entire debate and this entire race next spring when he is in that debate and Joyner is possibly in that debate and Luke Doty, who's a brand new member of that particular quarterback room, all part of that debate. It's not set in stone what's going to happen in August of 2020. One of them could get hurt, make it a lot easier on everybody else. Not to say that it's what we want to happen, perish the thought. But the fact that people are turning this into a negative thing about Will Muschamp and how it's going to effectively shut down recruiting in the state of South Carolina is just nonsense. And I understand that this is a very, very proud state when it comes to its high school football. And I understand how difficult it is when you're thinking about a quarterback who is a Mr. Football in the state of South Carolina not getting a chance to start at the flagship state school. And while Clemson fans will argue that theirs is the flagship state school, guess what? This is not the state of Clemson. This is the state of South Carolina. I know that might get me a little bit in trouble here being in the upstate, but again, that's the way it works.
Are you curious who else offered Ryan Helensky? Big names.
I'm not curious. I know it's a very lengthy list, but you can
read Arizona State, Boise State, Duke, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, NC State, Ohio State, Oregon, Oregon State, Stanford, Texas A&M, UCLA, Southern Cal, Utah, Washington State, and Wisconsin. And South Carolina beat them all for Ryan Helensky.
I don't have the carry-ons in front of me, but I guarantee you that it's not as strong amongst the people who wanted him to play quarterback. He has Alabama, who wanted him as a defensive back. Auburn, same deal. Clemson, Florida. Georgia, Louisville, NC State, North Carolina. And again, a lot of these places, Oklahoma was probably the only one that actually offered him with its head coach actually as their main recruiter. So, in my mind, too much of this is being re-adjudicated on a daily basis. And again, he broke all those records, and people are saying all this stuff from that perspective. But what I'm telling you is he apparently did not take the steps that Ryan did. What we heard from the reports from people who I've talked to is that it's a carry-on, it's a tentative thrower, didn't show out well in the spring game. We were there. Ryan Helensky had a pretty darn good drive in the spring game. And he had conviction, and Will Muschamp said very, very clearly, we are going to dictate the depth chart with what gives us the best chance to win. It's not going to be something where we're currying favor or worrying about hurting people's feelings. Will Muschamp is the grown-up in the room. And there are a lot of South Carolina fans who are acting like they're not grown-ups and they're whiny babies. Is that too harsh? The kid from California is better than the kid from South Carolina that has a lot of people bent. And quite honestly, I don't understand why. And if that costs you to carry on Joyner, I'm okay with running the risk of him trying to go somewhere else and succeed. Cuz I don't know if the list of teams that want him at quarterback is as long as people think that it is. Quite honestly. And if he goes and has success elsewhere as quarterback, if that's what he so chooses to do, then you wish him well and you say, thank you. But I think Ryan Helensky could be a star at South Carolina. And the first fruits of that will take place during this fall when he probably plays in four games and plays a significant amount in those four games because they need him to get as many on-field reps as possible in order to be ready to take the reins in 2020. It is ESPN Upstate. It's ESPNUpstate.com and the Radio.com app. We had Tim Brando on the show yesterday, and he had some interesting comments about where college football sits from the standpoint of predictability and also really kind of involving the AP poll. And we had Dabo Swinney talk about whether or not he believes that his team should be ranked number one, because there's some interesting tie-ins with the fact that they were ranked number one in the country yesterday by the Associated Press, and a long streak was broken by that particular honor. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You ever had a root canal?
No. I have all my teeth in full, proper working order.
No fillings?
Not a one.
Why do I keep running into people who have all these perfect teeth? And why do I just keep going to dentists? Am I just a magnet?
You go to crappy dentists, I guess.
Apparently. I know like four people today who literally have said they've never had a filling. I had literally three last year.
It's genetic. It really is.
And I have one more. That basically was a botched one. Went to the dentist this morning. I have basically a filling that they botched, and they say that the decay is spreading, and it might be at the nerve, which means they might have to do a root canal. So I'm, like, freaking out.
Please get a gold grill. Would you get a gold tooth?
No.
Would you Joe Pesci it and get a gold tooth?
No.
Please.
No.
Please.
What am I, a clown? Do I amuse you? Your injury update for Clemson, by the way, they were on the practice field. Final time that folks were able to observe them. Still yellow non-contact jerseys for both Amari Rodgers and Frank Ladson, while Cornell Powell was in a green jersey, which means limited contact. Also, Davis Allen still in yellow. Doesn't look like he'll be back for the opener. And they were using Luke Price, the walk-on tight end, along with J.C. Chonk in kind of a double tight set. So that's an interesting little wrinkle and tweak there for Clemson offensively. Brighton Constantine, Cade Stewart also were in yellow, and also Darion Kendrick and Mario Goodrich on the defensive side in green. Limited contact jerseys. Full go, though, were both Jake Venables and Baylen Spector. And again, we'll get another more comprehensive update on what's going on with the Tigers when Matt Connolly joins us from the state newspaper. He was out there on the practice field. He will join us at 6:21 as part of our next hour, part of a CNC Tuesday here on ESPN Upstate. Yesterday, Dabo Swinney addressing the media right after Clemson was voted number one in the Associated Press poll. It will break an 8-year string, by the way, for Clemson, which involved the Tigers finishing ahead of where they were ranked to begin the season. 8 years in a row, they finished higher than the folks ranked them in the preseason. Of course, being ranked number one means they can't finish higher than that. Dabo Swinney was asked, coincidentally, by Matt Connolly, what are the pros and cons to being ranked preseason number one for Clemson, first time in school history that's happened?
I mean, I guess that means that people think we got a good team coming back, and that probably means that we were a good team last year. So, I mean, I guess that's a pro. I guess that beats not being ranked at all because everybody thinks you stink. I mean, I guess that's the pro. The con is it just doesn't matter. I mean, it just is a distraction for people to ask me questions about it because it just doesn't matter. Like I said, unless they bring us a trophy and tear the concrete out over there and put the preseason champs up there, I don't think we're going to do that. So it just doesn't matter. That's probably the only con, is it just creates conversation that's unnecessary because it's just not worth the paper it's printed on. And all you got to do if you really want history is just take the last 10 years preseason polls, and a lot of those teams in the top five don't even finish ranked. A lot of the teams in the top 10 don't even finish in the top 25. So I just have a perspective of it, and I've been on the other side of it where we haven't been ranked in the top 25 and we finished ranked.
That is, of course, the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, Dabo Swinney. And it's funny, Diesel. Doesn't he sound a lot like a certain radio host who's on this particular airwaves in this particular time slot that literally has said that really the preseason polls don't necessarily mean much or really involve a lot of just logic behind them?
Who would that be?
Oh, that'd be me.
Is it? Okay.
And if it wasn't me, then maybe could I interest you in what Tim Brando had to say about this particular situation? Because he very, very eloquently yesterday on our radio program contends that not only is it impossible to crack college football's elite, but with the expansion of the college football playoff, it has contracted the amount of teams that can actually be a part of the party.
Is there one on that list in terms of the top 10? Forget the 25, just the top 10. That you would say is a surprise entry? Like, oh, gee, I've never heard of them. Do you see one? Of course not.
Exactly.
Of course not. I mean, it's one brand name after another. We've turned this thing even more, it's less accessible now to the teams that are lining up and practicing and putting their jockstrap on just like everybody else that are outside the Power Five. It's less accessible now with four teams than it was with two teams.
Right.
At least when we had the BCS, we had a formula that allowed for a Boise State to actually have a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, UCF and Memphis or Houston or any of the teams, USF, they don't have a chance. They don't have a sniff.
And not only does that reign to be the case, but it has ushered in this new era of what I call college football Calvinism. Many other people call it just regular predestination or predetermination, and a predictability that exists that, according to Timmy B, is killing the sport.
I can pretty much give you a cobble of six teams that I think are going to be in the four and probably be right on all four. And if you force me to pick only four, I bet you I could give you the over-under at three that I get at least three of them right, and I'd be accurate. And that kind of predictability in July and August, Will, for me to tell you who's going to play in January and early July, that sucks.
It is.
That's not good. That takes intrigue away from the regular season. And this so-called, we can't expand because we have to protect the sanctity of the regular season. There is no bigger myth in college football right now. There's no bigger myth in sport right now than college football having the greatest regular season in all of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Check out some of those mismatches we've got early on. Check out that SEC schedule week three in November. That's the best regular season? I don't think so.
And I don't believe so either. And, you know, it makes me ask the question, Diesel, because I feel like a lot of Clemson fans that I've talked to feel this way. The Clemson fan, I think, feels very bored. Because, and I heard somebody say this to me earlier today, the climb is the exciting part. The look down isn't as sexy as the climb. The climb to get to the top of the mountain is a lot more arousing than the view from the top. And while the view from the top feels awful nice, and while those two scepters feel awful nice, I feel like being at the top of this mountain is somewhat cheapened by the fact that getting to that top of the mountain has slammed the door on many deserving members of the college football community, because right now Clemson is sitting in a VIP club with the most powerful bouncer in the world standing outside, where only about six or seven or eight teams are actually allowed in the same room. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com. And that's just the way I feel with regards to where college football sits currently. The non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. How long do you think you could sit still in one place, trapped, not being able to move? Well, folks on a flight leaving John F. Kennedy Airport found out that question's answer the hard way. I'll explain when we come back with the non-sports story that makes me smirk and smile. It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. I have a double-pronged non-sports story that will make you smile and smirk. The main event comes first. So, how long is the longest you could sit on an airplane tarmac without moving in your mind before you start going crazy?
About an hour and a half, tops.
Well, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. 8 hours did Delta Flight 2385 sit on the tarmac at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York City. And oh, by the way, fights broke out on the plane. Shock and awe between frustrated and exhausted passengers. According to a passenger writing on Twitter, this has gotten out of control. There are people fighting each other. It's gotten both verbal and physical. Police are on the plane. Complete chaos. I understand weather delays, and we all want to be safe, but this is not how not about weather, but about how Delta has handled it. In another tweet, the person said the plane's captain had, quote, no idea where the ship's crew was. It was supposed to take off at 3:52 p.m., but was delayed due to poor weather. It did not take off until 11 p.m., landing in Miami at 2:30 a.m. Unbelievable. I couldn't deal. I had to deal with a 4-hour one in the
that's awful
in the same cabin.
I get really fidgety when I can't move. Like my joints start to get stiff, and I have to get up and move. I have to get up and stretch, and you can't do that.
Part of the reason why it was so long is the crew, I guess, was term limited or whatever. It was not term limited, but whatever the term that they use for it. They had gone over their hours, so we were waiting on another crew to come in on another plane in order to take over for the crew, basically the relief for that crew. So that was part of the reason why. But again, it started with a delay for weather, and then the delay put them over their time, and this was for, again, a very, very short flight, so it is what it is. We're getting more comments from Brian McClendon, the offensive coordinator of South Carolina, currently speaking with the media. We'll give you those after the top of the hour. But I did want to get to this story because the person who precedes us must be a witch or something. Mark Ryan, in reacting to a story that came out the other day that said the energy recommended time or recommended temperature for you to keep your thermostat at while you are in your house is 78. He says he keeps the temperature in his house at 76. And then when he is away, turns the AC off. 71, sleeping alone, sleeping with company, 69. It's true. Hold your jokes. 69 is what I have it at night, regardless whether I'm alone or not. I keep it around 72 or 3 when I'm at my house. 78 when you're at home, according to this Jennifer Titus. I keep it at 78 when I'm going away and I'm not even coming back. Like when I was doing the shows in Atlanta, when I had my my apartment vacant, I would put it at 78 or 79, and I would just not even leave it at. This person says 85 degrees when you're at work or away is the new report from the government that is a recommended temperature for energy efficiency.
Jeez.
85?
That sucks.
That's terrible. And then it says 82 degrees when you're sleeping. So this person wants it hotter when you're sleeping. I'm sorry, man. Do you want me to sleep in a vat of my own sweat? Seriously? You remember that article that came out? I believe it was either in the Atlantic or in the New York Times, where the writer in the op-ed piece accused air conditioning of being sexist. It's made me think about that when I saw this. Air conditioning is sexist because women apparently function better. According to the article, women apparently function better at higher temperatures.
I'd love to see this science.
I'd love to hear this. Tell me more about how air conditioning is sexist. We're just going all so close to the third rail, but I'm not touching it. I'm not there yet. Matt Connolly of the State Newspaper comes your way 20 minutes from now on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.